Just about 6:40, and it's our Monday morning house call from the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. How you doing today, Doc?
I'm doing good, Bob. How about yourself?
Well, you know what? I am feeling like I'm playing the lottery trying to get these vaccines, and it's going on everywhere. People are trying to figure out how to do it, where to do it. Walgreens and CVS, now are they the best bet for getting the vaccine?
Probably not. You know, when we look at going into phase 1B, which has really got the attention of many people because it now opens it up to those over the age of 65. And I think what you're going to see is that the distribution is still going to go through a lot of the health systems. So I would say, well, look for a message from your doctor, whether it's in my chart or an email or a phone call. I think we're going to try to do it here in Illinois more organized than they have in Florida and other states where it's just a mass rollout and just, you know, come stand in line. And I don't think Walgreens and CVS are going to be ready to handle the burden that we would see when we're talking about, you know, 3 million people fall into this classification of 1B.
Let's talk a little bit about the vaccines. And after you get the second shot, how long do you have immunity? Do we know for sure?
Well, the beauty of the second shot really boosts up your immunity to that 94-95%. Now, as far as how long we have it, that's being looked at right now every single day, because you have to remember that we're going off of data from clinical trials that were started in the summer and continue to go on. So those individuals who were in those early clinical trials are continuing to be monitored to see if they continue to have immunity. It certainly looks like we're going to have some, when I say long-term immunity, you know, up to a year, but we're certainly hoping that it's going to be more like a 2-3 year time frame that we have immunity.
And once you get the vaccine, you still can be contagious, can't you?
Yes. So, you know, the Moderna vaccine was the first one to kind of look at that. The AstraZeneca is looking at it right now, but Pfizer did not look at that. So what we mean by that is the vaccine shows that you will not get advancing symptoms. It doesn't show that the virus can't still live in the back of your throat, in the back of your nose, and yet you could still be contagious. So it certainly looks like with Moderna, about 70% of people didn't even have the virus in the back of their throat. There still was a small number. So that's why you're still starting to see us all say, hey, even though you've had the vaccine, which I've had both my shots, I still wear a mask, you know, all day. So we still need to get to that number of more people immunized before we can get to the point of saying, okay, take off the mask, no one's contagious anymore.
And if you do get COVID, you can get it again, correct?
Well, you can, but, you know, look here in the United States, 25 million cases, you're not seeing a whole bunch of, oh my gosh, he got another reinfection. So we're seeing some very rare cases of reinfection. And these individuals may not have the immune response that we expected, but it certainly looks like the vast majority of people that once you had it, the natural immunity is certainly going to protect you for at least a period of time. That's one of the reasons we even asked healthcare workers that had tested positive to wait 90 days before they got the vaccine, because we know they have some immunity from having the illness.
What are you seeing there at Northwestern, and what are you hearing from your colleagues at other hospitals? Because it seemed to me that the news this morning was pretty good about the positivity rate and the caseload here in Illinois.
Absolutely. You know, people may be upset about the mitigation and what we've gone through these last few months, but when you look at our positivity rate and you look at our hospitalizations, you know, they're decreasing. And I would say, and I don't want to say dramatically, but they are definitely decreasing. And that's after the holiday bump. So that's all good news. Now, people will say, well, you say that, Dr. Most, but yet we're still seeing deaths. We have to remember that a lot of the deaths are for people that have been in the hospital for weeks, if not even longer. And so we will continue to see some deaths, but we're certainly seeing less hospitalizations, less cases. And now with the vaccination, you know, you're starting to see the tide potentially turn.
Steve Grzanich in the newsroom is raising his hand. He either has to go to the men's room or he has a question for you, Dr. Most.
I have a question.
I hope it's a question.
It is a question, Doc. I've seen a couple of people in the last day or so say that our masks, and we had a story in the 6:30 news about this, that our masks that we've been wearing, the cloth masks, may not be enough to protect us from this new variant of COVID-19. And they're suggesting that we put filters inside of our cloth mask. What do you know about that?
Yeah, Steve, so what we're seeing, you know, is the new variant is more contagious, meaning that probably less viral particles need to get in to spread the illness. The filters themselves, I'm not a big fan of them just because of the technology and how often you need to change them. I am a big fan of double masking. So if somebody says, you know, I don't think these paper masks are good or good enough, although we've shown in healthcare that they work fine, now with this new variant, you know, I'm encouraging people, whoever has that anxiety or really wants to double mask when they're out. Wear a cloth mask and then wear the paper mask over it. You now have decreased the chance of getting any virus in. We have to remember that we're wearing masks because we were concerned about spreading the disease to others if we were potentially asymptomatic. Now we're looking at it totally different, where we're wearing masks or double masks to protect ourselves from a variant. So if everyone could wear an N95, it certainly would work. However, not enough N95s around, and the N95 has to be fitted to your face. There's different sizes, so we don't want to make sure we waste those, and we make sure we use those for healthcare settings.
So when you say a paper mask, so if I had a surgical mask, just a regular surgical mask, I could put that under my cloth mask?
Correct. Correct. You know, a lot of people are going to wear the cloth mask and then put the blue or yellow surgical mask on the outside just because of comfort. Cloth masks are much more comfortable right up against your face, and that's what I'm seeing the most of, and I'm encouraging people who have any concerns to do that.
But, Steve, that Lone Ranger mask you wear sometimes, that's no good. I can tell you that.
That won't work.
No, forget that. Continuing with Dr. Kevin Most. Dr. Most, I heard even if you're asymptomatic, your heart or lungs can be seriously affected long term. Is this what you know to be true?
No, you know, that's very difficult to prove, I'll say. You know, in other words, if I'm asymptomatic, then I don't have any signs of lung or heart problems. Now, can you say, well, how will we know that it won't long term? We don't know that. But certainly when we look at the long haulers, we're looking at the symptoms that they have, the damage that has been done to their lungs or to their heart or to their kidneys, and then looking at, boy, what's this going to look like for the long term? But I would say that those who are asymptomatic, the body's immune system appears to keep this in check and probably won't be doing the long-term damage. Right. And you know what, Bob, before we go, I do want to say one thing. You know, Steve told us about the snow that's coming, you know, 4 to 7 inches. It's expected to be somewhat heavy snow. Unfortunately, we call this sometimes the heart attack snow.
Right.
So just want everyone to be really careful when shoveling. If they get in their pain in their arms, shortness of breath, pain in their chest, please stop shoveling. Be really careful with this when it's the first snow. So we want to make sure that everyone's aware that that's a big strain on the heart when you look at what we're doing here. We want to make sure everyone's careful.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Get the neighborhood kid ready because they are talking about a wet, heavy snow.
Yep.
Back to these long haulers, as they're called. We're hearing a lot about brain fog. Have you come into contact with patients who have complained about that after they get over COVID?
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's probably between the lungs and brain fog, it's probably the two biggest concerns that we have. Northwestern actually has a clinic right now for all the neurological symptoms of people who have had COVID and continue to have symptoms. So they have a clinic that's looking at treatment options and tracking and what other things we can do. But certainly brain fog is one that is concerning. And whether that's that you take longer time for cognitive things, that you aren't so sure, that you are forgetful, those are the things that they're all looking at right now to, one, see if how we could prevent that from happening, and then, two, if there's going to be treatment options. But it's certainly one of the concerns that we see going forward with the long haulers.
There also was a story in the news recently about post-COVID, sometimes lung damage being worse than most smokers' lungs. Is that possible, really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, for smokers, a lot of the changes that we see with smokers, especially if they're not super heavy smokers, is going to be more congestion and inflammation. And in fact, we know that if someone has a somewhat mild smoking history and they stop, that their lungs will actually come back to almost normal. Those that have smoked, you know, 30, 40, 50 pack years, certainly they're going to be doing damage. But the COVID changes that we're seeing are very strong. They're very powerful. They do scarring. They do damage that will not be repaired. So actually the COVID pneumonia, those that have bad COVID pneumonia, certainly end up with bigger issues than smokers. The bad thing, Bob, is when we have a smoker who gets COVID. So now you have the inflammation already there, the weakness in the lung, and now you put the virus on top of it, and those are the ones that are tough. So I would say to anybody who's smoking right now, please consider stopping right now, because if you do get COVID, you certainly are at a higher propensity to have more future damage.
So it sounds like you would consider smoking being one of those underlying conditions that people warn about.
Oh, 100%. We know that smokers have a much harder time with this. They already have low oxygenation in many cases because of just the inflammation and the way that their lungs work. Now we put something, a disease on top of it that causes the exact same thing and causes permanent damage. Yeah, that's a perfect storm that you certainly don't want to see.
A lot of people also wondering about, after getting both doses of the vaccine, can they still be a carrier of the virus to someone who hasn't been vaccinated? We keep getting that question, a lot of emails and texts to that effect.
Yeah, so that is being tested in the clinical trials that are going on now. So I do think you're going to see probably some good news coming out of Johnson & Johnson here, hopefully this week or next week, which will tell us more about that. The first couple, you know, with the Pfizer and Moderna, they were really getting, let's get to market, let's make sure that we're safe. And they didn't look at that as closely as maybe they would have if they would have considered it. But I do think you're going to see the AstraZeneca data, and you're going to see the Johnson & Johnson data that's going to show us, not only how effective it is, but also are they carriers after they've gotten those doses. And we have to remember that Johnson & Johnson is a single-dose vaccine, although they are running a double-dose vaccine trial as well. And Johnson & Johnson is also looking at the ages of 12 to 18, which the other companies had not looked at.
Are you worried at all about having enough here in Illinois so that after you get your first dose, you'll be confident that there will be enough vaccine for the second dose?
You know, if you would have asked me 3 weeks ago, I would have said, yeah, I'm totally fine, and I feel very confident. You know, the state initially with the healthcare workers was very smart. They got their doses. They held half of them back so that we made sure. Now, as you're starting to see that the stockpile has been depleted, we really need to look at the production levels of the companies that have already done it. Have to remember, once you get the Pfizer vaccine, the expectation is that 21 days later, you're going to get the Pfizer vaccine. So even though we may have plenty of AstraZeneca in the future, Johnson & Johnson, we have to make sure that we couple them up with the vaccine they got first. So a little bit concerning. Now, we haven't gotten to the point where, you know, what they're doing at Britain, where they're giving as many people the first shot as they possibly can and then delaying the second shot for potentially up to 12 weeks. And then there's also a study being looked at right now where instead of giving the full dose of Moderna, you give a half dose of the Moderna, and then 28 days later you give the other half of the dose. So again, anything they're looking at, anything they can do to stretch the supply that we have.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll be talking to Dr. Anthony Fauci between 7 and 7:30, and I'm certainly going to ask him about that because we're all concerned. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Great talking to you as always. Have a great week, Doc.
Take care, Bob. Thanks.